Right now it is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Straub, the frickin' frack of Nick and Nack. You'll find them at Treasure Quest Appraisal Group on the web, tqag.com. And I know I've got Tim here. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Is Greg around?
He's actually just a little under the weather. So okay. He was tired today. We were at the conference. We were in Jacksonville all last week, and he's still kind of recovering. He was up early. He got up very early to take our friend Jackie to the airport. She had a 7 o'clock flight. So he was performing a good deed this morning, and he came back and he said, "I'm exhausted." So he hit the bed.
Well, Greg and I are about the same age, and I'll tell you, when I put the other day, I put in like an 18-hour day and didn't realize it. And it took me a good day and a half to recuperate. I can put those days in and I can do that, but the recuperation.
Recovery time. It's that recovery time. And I keep telling him, you know, you can't constantly do that. You have to be aware of the time, because the recovery time just really knocks you out. So I told him, no, don't worry, I've got this, got you covered, because we have a long day ahead of us.
So you're going to need another recovery day after this long day.
I know. That's how this whole week, I think, is going to go. But we had a really wonderful conference in Jacksonville. Our interpersonal communications class was transformational on so many levels for a variety of people. And I just want to thank everyone for participating 100%. They were so great. It was wonderful to see. And I was hosting the webcast for the International Auctioneers Competition. And this year, again, this is the second year in a row that Greg and I have coached the winner of the women's division and also the winner of the men's division. And the two of them, full-throated endorsement from the stage, saying, "Thank you, Tim and Greg. I really wouldn't have been able to do this without your help. This was wonderful. You gave me guidance." And we both were just, I was overwhelmed and happy for the winners, and congratulate them because they did it. It was our coaching and assistance, and just gave them some really good pointers and guidance, and they took that advice and they were able to get out of their own way, which that's part of the problem when you're doing competition. The nerves get in your way. So we were able to assist them, and very happy, and looking forward to seeing what they're going to do in the next year. And then we drove home. That was the other part of it, is that we drove home, and actually I had to teach another class, the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice, on Saturday. And Greg was in the class, but because I was teaching all day and going, my recovery day was on that Saturday, because I drove for an hour and I said, "Greg, you're just going to have to drive the rest of the way." And I fell asleep in the car. Just it was getting back home, doing the laundry, getting things unpacked, and we just hit the ground running. So
yeah, this is it's so fun. It's so exhausting to go away.
My goodness. Well, you know, and then you come back and you have to unpack and put everything away in laundry and get back to your routine.
And that I call it reentry, actually, and it ends up taking, it ends up requiring, so if we have an away day, you know, something really even inconsequential, forget it when you're doing something important, but it takes the exact same amount of time to do the reentry and get everything where it needs to be to even start again, which means that, for example, dinner is at 9, and, you know, you're already wrong-footed trying to get
right from the start.
It reminds me of trying to get on. I used to be very bad at trying to get on a merry-go-round if it was moving.
Right.
I started running after the.
Say, wait,
yeah.
Jumping on.
Wait. Feet kicking
on. Speaking about jumping on, have you all purchased your $500 million lotto ticket?
Yes.
Marshall's got that under control. I do not, because I.
No. Right.
I'm
bad. You have a different financial plan.
No. My financial plan is hoping that he wins and seeing what I can get from.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
that's my financial plan.
You do have a plan. You do have a plan.
Oh, I always have a plan.
Well, that's great. And I wanted to talk a little bit about these you know, unexpected fortunes and things that you find. There was something in the news that just broke, I think, yesterday. Is
the
that
guy
there
with
was
his
an
locker?
Art dealer.
Yep.
Yeah, did you read about that?
Well, what
that
was really interesting is, sadly, I was unaware of Suzanne Schnitzer. She was a very, very talented restorer. And
yes.
I did not realize that she was, like, long ago I heard about that accident, but I didn't realize that she was the one who was killed in it.
Right.
And this is just shows you how 9 years later, it's a real lesson about stuff. Not so much
stuff.
About the guy who got it.
No.
Who purchased the locker because,
right.
you know, you've got a lot of percentage chance of that actually working out. But
right. Well, let's also just give everyone, just so that they know the background, is that there was this locker, this storage locker filled with artwork that this art dealer and restorer, they had, and one passed away and then the other passed away without really knowing what was in there, no sort of inventory. And this auction company was going to try and get it, but they couldn't. And then this gallery took a chance and paid $15,000 for it because it was deemed abandoned property after so many years. And go ahead, Jill. I just want to give the background there. And what
it
you
looks,
were saying.
Basically, it was an art restorer who then mm-hmm. turned his business over to the other person. It appears as though there is there are actually authentic de Kooning works, etc. In
six, is
in
what they think.
Yeah, in this that
treasure
were in this locker, right?
Stuff.
And the part that fascinates me again is less about the trove and more about the, you know, if somebody dies unexpectedly, or even
mm-hmm.
expectedly, you
mm-hmm.
know, they're not there to say, oh, by the way, in the closet.
Don't forget.
Is the such and such, and you want to
yes.
dig around under there. And so in the stress of the event,
mm-hmm.
stuff gets packed away.
Absolutely. And you have to have the conversation. And I'm working on that right now with my parents, is that we've gone to the attorney, and now they haven't, and I've talked about this before, they have not updated their wills since I was 15, and I will be 55 in September. So we're working on getting that done. And we went, had our initial meeting, working through everything. They sent through all the documents. And now in August, I think it's August 1st, next Wednesday, we go to sign off on all the documents because they're getting that, we're getting that all done so that we have a plan. And I asked my parents, and it's funny you say that, Jill, is where's the such and such? So I was talking with them and said, now, is there anything of any value here? Now, I know what they have, and I've helped them move, and I've helped them rearrange their house and everything. And the funny thing was is that my mom was saying, well, what about your dad? Dad has his coins. And my dad's like, yeah, your mother was yelling down to me, are these coins worth anything? Is this $1 million up here or what?
Right.
And of course, no. But I said, look, your son's an appraiser. I'll help you.
Yeah,
I'll help you find out.
But it's like your son's an appraiser,
people.
Guys. And what you want to do is talk to someone
talk
who
to
might
me.
Know about it. But that, I mean, it's funny because of you, but I'm just saying to regular people,
yes.
you cannot rely on the fact that the person who comes in is going to, A, know what it is, and B...
Right.
Look
in those spaces,
right.
in those hiding places.
Because when they go to those hiding places, they're essentially going to be just grabbing stuff and going, oh, my
right.
God, I'm 3/4 of the way through this. This is terrible. And, oh, I miss blank.
Right. Right. And there have been a number of times in our career that we've just gone into a closet. There was an estate that we were working on in Palm Beach, and there were reproduction Audubon prints on the wall, and in the closet there was some artwork, and we thought, oh, let's take a look. And that's where we found this painting by, and I forget his first name, the last name is Music, and it was a horse stone, and it sold for $128,000. And it was one of those things that was sitting in the closet, and there were reproductions on the wall. And so you can't make assumptions either when you are looking at stuff. And that's what we're trained as appraisers, but as individuals, it's always, you have to have that conversation and say, okay, I understand that there may be some things and you feel comfortable with it under the bed or it's tucked away somewhere, but I need to know where that hiding place is, and let's write this down so that the executor or somebody knows where this is. Because if not, especially those de Koonings, and let's go back to that, is those de Koonings. And what they did is that the gallery owner was wonderful. He tracked down the studio assistant that worked with de Kooning and had him take a look at it. And he said, yes, in my opinion, this looks right. They also brought in some other people who know about de Kooning and said, yes, this looks right. Because there are a lot of fakes.
I just did it bluntly.
And there are a lot of fakes.
A lot. So, while occasionally people will suddenly go, oh, I've just found 30 long-lost Jackson Pollocks in my attic. That usually starts a lot. You know, the skeptical bells absolutely
and the buzz
ringing.
Yes,
with good reason.
Rightfully so, because so many have come out that have not been right.
Right, but when it's like my son. My son, the appraiser. These are people that were. There's every reason to. This is unlikely. There's a really good chance that these are real, right?
Correct.
And that's correct. That's. But you also bring up an interesting. Just as it is, excuse this undiplomatic word, absolute insanity not to have a healthcare advocate that you've appointed. If God forbid anything happens, because someone's got to organize all of the information and listen.
Speak on your behalf.
Right.
Absolutely.
It is that same sort of foolishness to not have someone who knows where your stuff is and
why what your wishes are. Yeah.
And why, for example, you know, you wear the paste, why you wear the costume jewelry, but you've got the other stuff stashed.
Yes.
Because in a lot of cases, it's far easier to stash it. You know, you stash the stuff and you wear the others because that's life.
If something happens to it, that's fine.
That's right.
And I know a number of people that's what they had these costume reproductions made of their really great stuff. So they could still wear it every day.
Yep.
They'd wear the paste. And then if they were going to an event or do something,
they take it out of the safe and the blah blah blah.
Right.
But again, if you don't know that, and if you haven't sorted it, if you haven't prearranged it, obviously in certain cases your family members know blah blah blah. But I will tell you that even with knowing family members, it's not the same thing as being really clear about who goes where and who deals with it.
You're exactly right, because even just with me being the oldest, and I have a younger sister and a younger brother, and we're all 5 years apart. My sister's in North Carolina, my brother's in Ohio, and my parents are here in Florida. And just having that conversation and saying, okay, where's everything? What do I need to know? Just this is between us. This is, you know, as your executor, if that's what you would like me to do, it all comes down to this. If you feel more comfortable, this is what we need to do. And I know it's not a conversation that you're used to having or want to have, but we must do this. And let's talk about this and how this must go. And I made it very clear from the very beginning. I said, my ultimate goal, and I've already talked to my siblings, our ultimate goal is to make sure that you're comfortable through your life. You've made this money. We're not talking a whole lot, but they have enough to get by, and this is going to be good, and they're going to live okay. I said, but I want to maximize that, and I want to be able to make sure that you both are taken care of, and that's where this all goes. Don't worry about us, you know, and we're worrying. We want to make sure that you're taken care of and that your health care is okay, and that I'm here to be able to ask the questions or advocate on your behalf if that's what needs to happen. So, we're working toward that. And once you start that conversation and get that out there and get them comfortable about talking about these things, then that's when the magic happens, because then they're like, oh, okay. And then they feel comfortable and you start to be able to get all this stuff done. Because then, and of course, I also don't want to take over. They have to be responsible for some of this because they want to feel that they're participating as well. So I said, here's what you, and I gave them a little action plan. Here's your, okay, you need to take care of these things because you need to change your, whatever it is, beneficiaries or payout on death and things about the bank accounts. And here's what you need to do. I'll take care of this side. You guys take care of this side. And then we'll meet together and let's sign off on everything. And then you're working as a team. And it's really been great because now it's easier to have these conversations because once you start the ball rolling, now I just have mentioned them. Okay, now we have the wills done. Now we're going to look at, here's the next step of our plan. Because they live in a townhome and it's up and down. And my father is not doing well with his legs and diabetes and everything. So the stairs are not good. So I said, okay, now we're going to sell the townhome and let's look for a place for you to rent. And that's all on one level and closer to where Greg and I live. So that's the plan. And that's what we're working on.
Plans are good. We'll see what actually happens. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I've just been given the signal.
Hook. The hook. It's time.
The hook, baby.
People don't even know where the hook came from anymore.
That's right. People have no idea about that.
The hook came from the attic that nobody knows where. That storage facility.
They think he's maybe captain. They probably don't even know.
Ted Mack.
Yeah, Ted Mack Amateur Hour. Oh, and the hook was really a hook.
It was a big, long hook.
Big, long hook.
They used it on. If you ever watched The Gong Show, they used the hook as well.
Yes, they did.
And the hook is like, yeah, this is just so terrible, you're off.
And The Gong Show had Gene Gene, the dancing machine.
I know, I love Gene Gene.
We need more of that.
Gene passed away 4 years ago.
I know.
Yeah, too bad. Yeah. All right, Tim.
Hey, well, thank it was you. Great talking with you guys, and we'll be the dynamic duo next week.
All right.
All right, our best to Greg and the team. Feel better soon.
Definitely. All right. Take care. A great week, guys. And good luck on the lotto. Yeah.
All right, you too.
You too.
Thank you.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm. Mine is Greg today, and appraise this here on Robin Hood Radio.